I have a news flash for you that God was not surprised by the COVID-19 coronavirus. He was not surprised by the financial turmoil that it is causing. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in talking about the shaking. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. As of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. We have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Amen. Amen. The promises of God did not change. His power has not been diminished by these events that have taken place in this world in these last 2.5 months. Back at the end of the year of 2019, as the Lord was dealing with me about this upcoming year, about this upcoming decade, I just felt in my spirit that the Lord was saying that this was the year for the church to rise up. This was going to be and is going to be the decade of the church. Yeah. Now God was, again, was not taken by surprise. He didn't say, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have told him that. No, he knew. And you know what? We rise up because the winds of adversity appear to be against us. It's time for the church to rise up. Amen. What is to be our response in chaos, in crisis, in threat? It is to be a mature response, a spiritually mature response. That's why this message tonight is entitled Signposts of Maturity, Stepping into Our Destiny. It is not a coincidence that we are living as children of the Most High God in times like this. It is time for us, as spiritually mature children of God, sons and daughters of God, to step into our destiny in these ending days to prepare this world for the return of Jesus. The Lord is calling for maturity, humility, love, and faith in these end times. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be mature, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom we are to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So what marks us in this hour? You know, some years ago, Penny was a manager of a retail store that required appointments. And at certain times of the year, it would be chaotic in the store. But what made it work was that Penny knew how to control things, in the sense that she communicated with people. She let them know that we're on it, we're working on it, things are moving along. And as a result of that, people did not come in feeling chaos, feeling a crisis was going on, but they were assured because somebody was in control. And that's what this world is looking for. Somebody in control. Somebody that is mature enough to stand up and say, hey, it's not as bad as you think. We've got it under control. And I believe that the church needs to be that voice in this decade. So what are the marks of maturity? Uncompromising faith in the Word of God. Faith is what connects us to the promises of God and the power of God. Verses we're familiar with, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that phrase there would not just believe what he is, but believe what he says, believes his direction, believes his will, must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 10, starting verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, your faith, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have patience, but in that patience is faith. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, to the delivering of the soul. So we need to have faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith trusts the Word of God, because we serve a God who cannot lie. Hebrews 6:18. By these two immutable things, and he's talking there about his promise and about his oath, that by these two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. That should settle it right there. If God's word says it, it means it, right? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. A mature child of God has an uncompromising faith in the word of God. And therefore, that faith speaks the word without doubting. Mark 11:22 through 24. I think we've read these verses a few times over the years. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall now not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So we believe what God's word said, an uncompromising faith in the word of God, so that no matter what the situation looks like, we say, wait a second, what does God's word say? So we've got to know his word, because we can't follow his word, we can't do his word, we can't speak his word if we don't know what it says. So we need to know the word of God and then have an uncompromising faith in his word. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly. A mature person is led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14, a verse we're familiar with. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Talking here about mature sons of God. Through his Holy Spirit, God reveals to us his ways and his will. 1 Corinthians 2:9-12. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. His Spirit reveals to us his ways and his will. So as concretely, as we believe the written word of God, we need to believe what God is telling us, what the Spirit is showing us, what the Spirit is leading us to do, because we hear his voice and we do it. The Holy Spirit will show us all things to come. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. We need to ask him, Lord, what's coming? What do I need to do? Number three, controlling emotions. When a challenge comes, when a crisis comes, we need to control our emotions. Now, in some ways, you could almost say this should have been first. You know, because usually that's what happens. A situation comes, a crisis, a threat, and the emotions can get involved right away. But I purposely put this third because listen to what it says in John 14:1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. See, if you don't already have a foundation in the Word of God and trusting the leading of the Holy Spirit, then it's hard to control your emotions. You've got nothing to control them with, nothing to control them by. Now remember, this took place right after the Lord's Supper. Jesus is instructing his disciples. These things are going to be coming. Matter of fact, during the Lord's Supper, he again reiterated to them that he was going to die, that he was going to be, that men were going to take him, and he was going to be mistreated, and he was going to be crucified. But on the third day, he would rise again. He had just talked to him about that during the time of the Last Supper. And now as he's continuing to teach them, he's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. When these things happen, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So no matter what the situation looks like, we need to control our emotions. And it's controlled because we know what the Word of God says, and we know the heart of God. We know the Spirit of God. We rejoice. See, that is a choice that we make. We rejoice when we are tested, knowing what? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So no matter what comes upon us, we can choose to rejoice in that. So a mature person has an uncompromising faith in the Word of God. A mature person clearly hears the voice of the Holy Spirit. A mature person controls their emotions, and a mature person acts decisively, knowing, because they know God's will and they know His power. So ask God for wisdom without doubting. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we ask for wisdom, and God is not trying to hold it back. We ask for wisdom, and which he gives to us, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, we ask God for wisdom. But the intent of asking God for wisdom is to receive his wisdom and then do something with it. To not second guess it, to not doubt it, but say, okay, God, this is what you're leading. This is what I'm going to do. We're acting decisively. And once we know what to do, we obey the word. Just like Abraham, when the Lord told him to take his only son and to sacrifice him. And it says in verse 3, right after he had given that command to Abraham, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. He obeyed as soon as he possibly could. When the angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, you need to get out of Bethlehem immediately and go to Egypt. What did Joseph do? He didn't say, oh my gosh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's still dark outside, I'm going to go back to sleep, we'll deal with this in the morning. No, what did it say? It says he immediately arose and took Mary and the child and fled to Egypt. Immediate obedience to the word, acting decisively, and speaking with authority. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. People need to hear the voice of authority, saying, this is way the way it is. This is what's right. This is what God says. This is what we're going to do. They don't need questions and doubts and confusion. So, as mature people of God, when situations happen, we act in these ways. I remember that day, and most of you, matter of fact, everyone here remembers that. Some of you on the internet probably remember it also. The day in Healing School Semester 3 that Bill Sorace collapsed here, and for everything we could tell, he died. Now, we could have freaked out, but what did we do? Under the leading of Pastor Joshua and others, we said, no, let's attack this by the Word of God. Let's attack this because we know what God says. We have the power, and we raised him from the dead and saw him restored. We controlled our emotions. We knew what God's Word said. We knew the leading of the Holy Spirit. We then acted and spoke decisively. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Growing up to our destiny. We are called to be rulers. Not to lord it over people, but to serve. Galatians 4, verse 1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's the heir, so he's Lord of all. But he is a child, and in the Greek word, that's nepios, an infant. He's unable to understand. And even in this case, even able to speak. He's just like a servant. He's just learning. Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And in this word here, the Greek is weos, a mature son. And if a son, then an heir. In other words, this son has now moved into the place of his heirship, taking the authority and responsibility. And that's what we are called. We are called in this world to be rulers. We have been called to reign in life. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, how much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We need to grow up so that we can take our rightful place. We have been, I've been here for 17 years, and we have been preparing for such a time as this for the last 17 years. Now is not the time to shrink back. Now is the time to, what's the worldly term now, man up and step out in what we have been taught, what the Lord has shown us, and trust God, trust His Word to see us through. It's time to put away the childish things. Someone who is a child, they're selfish, self-centered. It's all about me. But a mature son of God knows that it's not just all about them. God has them covered. Protection, prosperity, healing, everything we need, we're covered. So what does that mean? That means a mature son of God is now a servant to the world around him. A servant. Using the power of God. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. It's time to put away the childish things, to no longer speak as a child. That verse there in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And that word there means an extended harangue or to utter words continuously. So a person who is speaking as a child, you've seen children that they just go on and on and on and on. It makes no sense what they're saying, but they just go on and on and on. We're not to be like that. We are to speak as an adult, to control our words. We are to understand as an adult, not a child. I spake as a child. I understood as a child. But now we are to understand, to process things, to exercise the mind in the interest not of ourselves like a child does, but in interest of others. To understand as an adult, to think as an adult, not a child. Going on, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away. And that means to push away those things that were of being a child, so that we are walking as an adult, as a man, as a mature son of God. We grow up to the strong meat of the word. A verse we're familiar with, Hebrews 5, 13 through 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use, hear that, reason of use, practicing, doing the word by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice it says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, those who have grown up, those who have matured. So in our maturing process, we need to grow to the strong meat of the word. Be a mature person, a father in the faith. 1 John 2:12 through 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, listen, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that was from the beginning. See, a father has a relationship with the Father God. A mature, in other words, we're talking here about children, young men, and fathers. So a mature person in the faith, a father, knows God from the beginning. In other words, he understands God's ways, God's word. He understands God's heart. And so he is a father. He's mature, as we've been talking about. But the process of that maturing is from a child to a young man who overcomes the wicked one. But going on in verse 14, I have written to you, young man, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Those are signposts along the way to maturity. Strong, the word abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. But a father is even beyond that. Number four, it is time to conquer the spirit of fear. If when these things started coming up on us with the coronavirus and then the stock market and the financial markets being shaken, if fear was your response, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to my savings, my 401k, my retirement accounts? If that was your initial thing, or what's going to happen if I get it? If fear was your initial thing, you need to work on fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. It's time to conquer it, to grow up and overcome fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Fear opens the door to demonic deception. Fear opens the door to demonic deception. Prayers prayed in fear are founded in deception. We've got to get beyond the fear. Trusting God, knowing that He has given us power, dunamis power, that's what it's talking about there, dunamis power, power to overcome. And He has given us love. With and through love, we overcome. And He has given us a sound mind. A mature person knows their power, knows how to walk in love, and knows how to have a sound mind. Others are not controlled by their emotions. So let me say that again. Fear opens the door to deception. Prayers prayed in fear are founded in deception. Word-based prayers prayed in faith will overcome the deception. So, conquer fear. Might be a good time to start again saying 2 Timothy 1:7 as an affirmation. In the name of Jesus, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of sound mind. Knowing who we are, the glorious church, we've talked about this many times, that He, Jesus, might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is God's work in the earth today, the work of Jesus today, and it has been since He died, to create, to raise up a glorious church, washed by the water of the Word. We are to be manifested sons of God, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We are to be world changers, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. And what do those good works do? They change the world around us. We are to be giant killers. These giants that have come upon us in these days are opportunities for us to rise up and to defeat them. Who are these uncircumcised things that have risen up against us? Coronavirus and financial challenges. Who are they? They are nothing compared to our God and the covenant that we have with our God. Number five, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So is this the way that we think about ourselves as the glorious church, as manifested sons of God, as world changers, giant killers? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We need to rise up to these things. Amen. We have been called for such a time as this. Letter D, living out our destiny. Now is our time. This is the year of the church to rise up. This is the decade of the church. Serving God in this generation. Listen to this in Acts 13:36. For David, after he had served his generation by the will of God, fell asleep. This is our generation. And we are as mature sons of God. We are to serve this generation by the will of God. serve this generation by the will of God. We have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther 4:14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Very apropos words to us. If we hold our peace, if all we do is shrink back, if all we do is say, well, let somebody else do it, then it's going to have consequences for us. But if we rise up, because we have been created for such a time as this. I like what it says there. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? See, there it's talking about the kingdom where Esther became the queen to Ahasuerus. But for us, it's talking about our kingdom. The kingdom that cannot be shaken, that we talked about earlier. We've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We can drop the question mark. Number two, governing with Jesus from our seat in heavenly places. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And of course, we know that that means from Ephesians 1:20 and 21, far, far, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. We are seated with Christ. Remember, the seat is a place of authority. So we have been called to that place of authority. Not just to have authority over our own lives and over our own things and over our own loved ones, our own families, but authority in the earth. We have been called from that seat with Christ to govern with Christ in these days. To sit before Him and say, Father, what is it I am to do? How do I handle this situation? What do you want me to do today? Ask Him. He'll tell you. How does He want you to pray? How does He want you to act? What does He want you to write? What does He want you to post on the internet? What book does He want you to write? We are to govern with Him. Govern with Him. He has a plan for this earth, and we are to govern with Him. We are kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be the glory and dominion. He has made us kings and priests for this day and age to have authority, to govern with Jesus. We are to be destroying the works of the devil. Fear, which leading to destruction. Jesus came that He might destroy the works of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. And that word there, destroy, means to take it apart to its minutest element. In other words, turn it to dust. It's destroyed, unable to be reconstructed, re-put back together. He called us to destroy the works of the devil. And one of His biggest works in this day and age right now is fear. What do we need to do to destroy fear and the works of the devil of fear? Prevailing over the gates of hell. Matthew 16:18, and I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. prevail against it. It doesn't prevail against it because we prevail over the gates of hell, over the things that hell is trying to bring on this earth. We are to tear down the strongholds with spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We govern with Jesus from the seat of authority. We take authority over the things that he tells us to take authority over. And we do it through the might of God, not through our own ways and will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." We are earthen vessels. We look at ourselves and we say, sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, you know, of my flesh, this is not easy. But we need to realize that we are earthen vessels with a treasure. It's not about us. It's about the power of God in us and releasing that power to the world around us. Preparing the way of the Lord. Isaiah 40. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Notice it's the voice of him. The voice of him. The church needs to raise its voice. How do you raise your voice in a room full of people who are all clamoring to be heard? You've got to raise your voice above those that are clamoring to have their voice heard. But it's not just the loudness. It needs to be a voice of distinction and a voice of understanding. Those are the voices that will be heard. And we as the church need to be that voice to prepare the way. The voice of him that cries, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight a highway," or "make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be brought low, and the crooked places made straight, and the rough places made plain." See, those are things that we do by raising our voice. "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." We're making a highway for the glory of God to be revealed in this earth. Prepare the way for the glory of the Lord. Establishing the kingdom of God in this world. Matthew 6, 9-10. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are to call that forth, and then because the kingdom of God is within us, we release it into the areas, to the places where God says to release it. ministering the gospel more effectively. Preach the word. Speak the truth to overcome deception. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. Now remember, this scripture comes after 2 Timothy chapter 3. Anybody realize that? 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the chapter that starts off talking about the perilous times. But know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers in themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It goes on and on and on. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, full of all kinds of deceit and lies. And then it goes continues on in verse 3, then talking about, he ends up with talking about the Word of God and encouraging Timothy to continue in the Word. And then he says this in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Now, when all these things are going on, these perilous times and the atmosphere of the world is self-centeredness and deceitfulness and error, all this stuff going on, that's the preaching the word. That may be the out-of-season time to preach it, but we are just still to preach it. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Notice he doesn't say, well, yes, that's just the way it is. Do the best you can. No, he is saying, no, you go out there, you preach, you rebuke, you don't let, you preach what is true, and don't let the deceits of the world stop you. I'm going to go on to a point 7 about prayer. Luke 21:36, scripture we're familiar with, tells us to watch and to pray. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Says there that we are to be watching. What does that mean? Keeping our eyes open to discern the times and the seasons. As the word there, watch, means actually to stay awake. Be aware of what's going on. Praying, communicating with the Father to bring into manifestation the will of God, the will of the Father. So we watch what is going on, what is happening. We pray. But then we don't just end there. We also need to then do. See what's going on. Pray. Ask the Lord what to do, and then do it. Follow up with it. In Luke 22, verses 35 through 48, and Matthew 24, 45 through 51, it talks about the servant, the servants that were given a assignment before the master left. And it said that they don't know what time the master's coming back, but will the servant be doing what they're supposed to be doing when the master returns? Some of them were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were mistreating those that were under them, But it says that when the master comes back and finds a servant, no matter what time, finds the servant doing what they're supposed to be, those are the ones that are going to be brought into the kingdom and given abundance and rulership. So watch, pray, and do. This is the time for us as the church to do what God has called us to do, to pray, to lift our voice, to bind the demons, devils, and evil spirits of this age, and to be the glorious church that God has called us to be. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.